Hello and welcome to Growing Up B2B. I'm Ed D'Elia, president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. For over 60 years, and now across two generations, we've been helping B2B companies achieve next-level growth through brand distinction, quality lead generation, and sales enablement. Growing Up B2B was created for family business leaders who are passionate about growth, legacy, and making a lasting impact. Whether it's a multi-generational legacy or multiple family members working together, there's something truly magical about blending business with family. And we want to celebrate that right here on Growing Up B2B. So be sure to stick around to the end of the show and find out how you can be our next guest. Okay, let's get into it. Hello and welcome to another episode of Growing Up B2B. I'm your host, Ed D'Elia. I'm the second generation president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. Today, I'm speaking with Joey Gamer, part of the third generation at Gamer Packaging, a family-owned packaging solutions provider founded by his grandfather, Ron, in 1987. Joey works alongside his mother, Paula, who serves as CEO, as well as his brother, Charlie, and cousin, Dylan, continuing the family tradition of building strong partnerships with both customers and suppliers. Since joining in 2019, Joey has focused on new business development, supplier onboarding, and process improvements, helping to spark growth and innovation while honoring the company's family legacy. He was recently named one of Family Business Magazine's Next Gens to Watch for 2025. Joey, welcome to the show. Great to have you today.
Ed, thanks for having me, my friend.
Awesome. So hey, let's start with a quick overview. In your own words, what does Gamer Packaging do and what industries do you serve?
Thanks for that. I hope I know the answer to this, but Gamer Packaging is how I would describe a packaging supply firm, a full service packaging supply firm. It was founded by my grandfather in 1987. Currently, my mother is our CEO. And as you had mentioned, I'm the third generation. But by packaging supply firm, the industries in which we focus on are food, beverage, cosmetic, and a little bit of the pharmaceutical industry, specifically for rigid packaging. We are a packaging distributor at the end of the day, so we have strategic supplier partnerships or manufacturing partnerships that we then supply those packaging items to a variety of different customers at a variety of different sizes at the end of the day. But there's so much packaging out there, Ed. People don't necessarily realize it, but when you're walking through your grocery store, your Target, or your pharmacy, everything is packaged. So there's specific segments that we're in that I had mentioned. And for example, aluminum cans are a big portion of our business from all the way to a mom and pop brewery to a global or nationwide large seltzer brand or juice company. Plastic bottles, whether it's glass jars as well. So really, I like to say that anything that falls within the aluminum, plastic or glass substrate, that's what our focus is on. And we have a team now of about 70 employees that has grown from my grandfather's only employee that he had, that he walked down to the basement with when he started the business, all the way up to 70 employees today, half of which are, I'd say, headquartered in our Minneapolis-based headquarters, with the remainder spread out throughout the country in satellite offices.
Cool. So I have to ask this, as you are in the packaging business, do you ever walk through like the supermarket with like your packaging goggles on and look at a product and say, boy, that's the wrong fit package for that product? Do you ever critique as you're walking through the store?
So much so, Ed, like I was telling you, I'm getting married in October and my fiance will not go to the grocery store with me or will not go to Target because it's embedded in you at this point. And we can get into it where I've gotten that or just haven't grown up with that attention to detail when it comes to packaging. But no, a typical grocery store run will honestly take me at least an hour and a half because I'm stopping in most all aisles. And you're not only looking for your own customers, and that's really the satisfying thing about being in the packaging business. It sounds not very sexy from the onset, but it is as big of a reward as possible when you're working on a project, whether it's custom development or a stock solution, that after a year and a half to 2 years that you finally go to your local grocery store and see the product on the shelf. That's the big win at the end of the day. But also just looking for prospects. And we're a sales organization at the end of the day. And I try to live that through my actions. And there is nothing that should prevent myself or any of our salespeople that if you're in a grocery store and see a specific product that looks interesting, that you can't call on that customer or that prospect the next following day and at least introduce yourself. And the worst case scenario at that point is that they have an additional packaging resource. They have your contact information because, like in so many businesses, timing is everything. But to answer your question, yes, it is a brutal experience for those not in the packaging industry going shopping with me or for that fact, any other employees at Gamer Packaging here.
Well, just to put you at ease, you're not alone because being heavily affiliated with this industry, I do
Yep.
that
So you and I would probably do well going together shopping for our groceries, but we'll leave the wives at
Yeah.
home at that point.
That wouldn't really be shopping for us. It would be more like a field trip, but it would be fun.
Yes, it'd be fun. It would be fun.
Before we sat down together here, we talked for a moment for a little bit. And you had referenced that as a kid, you'd think, hey, one day I would love to work at Gamer Packaging. Talk a little bit about like your first memories of the company when you first said, hey, there's a company here that kind of started to intrigue you.
Now, the earliest memory is as silly as it sounds, when I was before my brother or my younger sister were born, it would be my father dropping me off at school in the morning, knowing that he's going off to work after that. And then further to that, I was very lucky that I had all four grandparents when I was a younger child growing up alive and involved in my life. And the one who was by far and away the most involved was Ron Gamer, who had actually founded Gamer Packaging. So, as is the case when you speak with any founder, whether it's a new founder in this generation or a founder from previous generations in the past, they like talking about their business and their mission. So I was heavily exposed just in our household, learning about Gamer Packaging and then getting some visceral experiences where, yeah, we're going to a grocery store as a family, and my father pointing out that's a piece of packaging that he had worked on. So, a variety of different things, but I'd say the first memory that I have was really those car rides to school, seeing my father all dressed up and really admiring that. I thought that was cool as a kid, and that's where I got the original business bug, as I'd like to say.
Interesting, interesting. And then another point you mentioned is that when it came to the whole idea of you joining the business, you
Yeah.
said there was never pressure to join, but you got the sense that door was open. Talk about how that approach from your family influenced your decision to eventually say, yes, I'd like to do this and eventually step into the business.
Now, backing up, what I think is important to express is each and every family business is different and they're unique. Family businesses, I like to say, can be your greatest advantage or can be one of the biggest struggles in business possible. And how that comes about is obviously with the family dynamic and how that works. If you get along with your family members, you're at a strategic advantage because you're able to work nimbly, discuss important decisions quickly, and with as much education that you have on the topic at hand right away. So you can move quickly as a family business as long as those dynamics are available to you. But specifically for me, and this isn't the case for anyone else, or not necessarily for all family businesses, but the door was always open to me, but the pressure of joining the family business was never heavy at any point. Really, my folks and my grandfather set this up, not knowing that it was going to be a family business, but clearly with my father and now my mother involved in the business, there was going to be an opportunity that they were discussing or thinking about. Is this going to go to a third generation? So they had decided that based on our values, absolutely, it could go to a family or it could go to a third generation. But you need the right, our values are we need the right person in order to feel comfortable going to a third generation, someone that shares the values of how the company was started in the first place. Because at the end of the day, as a business owner or a business leader, you've got a lot of people relying on you, a lot of different families that are relying on the paycheck that you're giving them every other week. And based on that, there's a tremendous amount of responsibility. So we take that very seriously, the employees that have helped Gamer Packaging get to this point. And that was a primary reason that the door was left open, but you needed to prove yourself that you were going to be a value-added component to the family business and that you would uphold some of these important values that drove my grandfather to start it in the first place. So I always was attracted to the family business all the way from when I was driving to school with my father and he was dropping me off on his way to work. But what came about is my need to prepare myself for that, because my biggest goal going into gamer packaging was I wanted to be able to add value, but more importantly than anything else, I wanted to develop my own relationships within the company and externally out of the company. And the only way I felt I would be able to do that successfully is training as hard as possible at that point and directing a lot of the decisions you need to make as a younger individual to support that goal at the end of the day, whether it's going to Babson College, a small business school outside of Boston, ensuring that I'm working at a different sales organization, totally separate to Gamer Packaging prior to coming into the business, developing a little bit of a reputation for myself so I'm not coming in with any view of nepotism throughout the company and that I could be looked at as someone who can continue scaling the business like it was already on the path doing at that point. Long-winded answer for you, Ed, but at the end of the day, everyone's path is going to be unique. I know you and I had discussed your path was certainly a little bit different than mine, but the important thing for me at the end of the day is just making sure you're going in with the right mindset to a family business, not looking at it as a right, but privilege, and treating it as the privilege it is at that point.
It's a great answer. It's a long answer, but it's a great answer because I think you said a lot in that answer, which is the door was open, but it's up to you to step through. And if you're going to step through, at least for the gamer organization, you better do so with purpose and intent and ready to make a contribution. That was sounds like exactly the mindset you had when you walked through those doors for the first day.
To at least,
And you referenced this. Let's touch on that for a minute. You did go to Babson, obviously on more the East Coast for education. And prior to coming back to gaming, you did work for, and these were not small companies, you worked for some pretty notable companies before returning. Talk for a minute, Joey, if you would, about how those experiences helped you prepare for your role when you made your return.
They were truly incredible. Prior to Gamer Packaging and right out of college, I worked for Cargill, which is another Minnesota-based business, a privately held business, one of the largest in the world, where the original family over 150 years still maintains a significant ownership percentage. So also a family business, a very different one in size to Gamer Packaging, but that was something that attracted me. And then further to that was the position that was available at the time was a sales position in Southern California. So all of those components really made it feel like this was going to be a good fit for me. But the biggest thing that came out of that experience is my realizing the importance of mentorship at that point. And if there's anything I could encourage to anyone younger who's looking to get into the professional world from a business standpoint, is seek out those mentors that come up naturally for you and absolutely run with that relationship as long as you can. Because I was in a sales pit type of environment in Southern California at Cargill, specifically in the protein division. So I was selling meat in the Southern California region and it was cutthroat. Okay. So that's where I like to think that I cut my teeth, and I had some incredible mentors there that I still keep in touch with today. And that's something my mother also taught me that prior, and now I'm talking 2, 3 decades ago, she's still in contact with her very first mentor at the first job that she had. And I rely most everything I do in terms of structuring a deal, closing a piece of business, making a cold call, what have you, was built off of the experience that I had at Cargill with the particular mentors that were teaching me there. So it was about as influential as possible. And honestly, based on that, now that we're in the third generation, we're starting to generate procedures in the instance that a fourth generation may come along, or that additional family members that would like to be a part of the third generation would like to join, that we have some parameters involved with that process to ensure and better position them to, like we said from the get-go, honor the values and go into the business with the right mentality. And what we've discovered is working outside of the business is a huge value and something that we're going to mandate for any future family members that come in, because it accomplishes two things. It allows you to be in the marketplace and see how business runs. And then in addition to that, it allows you a little bit of time to ensure that you're prepared to go into the family business and that that remains of interest to you, allowing for that extra time to take place before immediately going after college.
That's a great point. And I can attest to the fact that you touched on two elements of your background that seems to be relatively consistent with the guests on this show. One, it was early exposure. So you had early influence, even if it was just somewhat subconscious influence, it was there. And two, you ventured out, you explored different environments, different landscapes of business, and then you circled back. And sometimes they don't circle back. In fact, I've got an upcoming guest who's, yeah, my intention was to come back, but he said, I just couldn't leave. I just loved what I was doing so much
That's the
that
exact
I.
point of that exercise, because, and what I was so blessed to have the flexibility from my folks and not have that pressure on my shoulders, that I was doing very well at Cargill in the sales role, and had Gamer Packaging not been there, I would for sure still be at Cargill right now and climbing that ladder. I was really getting some strong momentum under me, and it's not unusual in my mind at all that even if there is a family business there, that individual that's working at another company feels like they can really drive their own path there, that they have the opportunity to do that, and that's completely acceptable at that point. It just so happened in my case, it was truly ingrained that I wanted to contribute to the company that generations before me sacrificed for at this point, and that afforded me so many of these opportunities, such as going to Babson College or being able to be in a position to get early exposure to business. All of that came from Gamer Packaging being successful and allowing my folks and my grandfather and grandmother to afford me those opportunities at the end of the day.
Excellent. Excellent. So your father, Kenny, he's now fully retired, correct?
Yes, I would say he's fully retired, but as I think a lot of people listening that have any association with a family business can attest to, you're never fully retired in a family business. So he's still on weekly leadership calls. And most importantly, I talk to him daily. And I
Okay.
know that he really appreciates that, but there's nothing more that a family business owner likes to do than talk shop. He's certainly involved with the inner workings or what's going on from a very high level at that point. Is he in the weeds in terms of getting on customer calls, supplier calls? Not necessarily, unless it's absolutely warranted. But no, he's found a new passion of motorcycle riding and walking dogs up in northern Minnesota. No, he is happily enjoying retirement as it stands right now, while being able to stay even more in touch with his two sons at this point, checking in with them.
Sounds good. Your mother now leads as CEO, and your father, sort of in name, is retired. So it does represent something of a shift. Talk a bit about what it's like working with your mom in the capacity of CEO and how that feels in this new chapter of the company.
Well, there's always that parent that you've been close with your entire life. And this is not to say I haven't been close with my father, but I've always had a strong connection with my mother. Her and I think very similarly, and typically I find ourselves on the same wavelength. This is, I would say, one of the more unique factors within our family business, is it's one thing to have a generational level, but it's a whole nother that your spouse actually is also a part of the family business. So that was certainly unique, but similar to me, my mother had incredible sales experience prior to giving birth to myself and the rest of my siblings. She worked in the technology and computer space as a salesperson and was wildly successful for that. And again, if
Wow.
she hadn't had that experience, the option for her to work at Gamer Packaging at some point for sure wouldn't have been there, because again, she's coming in at a much higher level versus me, that from a new generation of are planning to start on the bottom rung and grow. But she's been CEO now for well over 6 years, I probably closer to 7 or 8 at this point. And her leadership ability has really assisted in bringing us to the next level at this point. So it's truly a blessing, just again, because of our family dynamics, that I'm able to work with my mother. She's two offices down from me at our corporate headquarters in Minneapolis. And I'm in there constantly, just getting her thoughts on a particular deal that I'm working on, and knowing that with her experience, that typically the guidance or advice that she gives me is probably at maybe not 100% correct, but it's at least going to guide me in the right direction. So from my standpoint, it has been lovely working with my mother. She's got a ton of gas still in the tank, which again alleviates pressure from my standpoint that once the retirement question comes up for her, what next steps look like in terms of leadership at the business? Because we've got some great executives here, and remaining humble is a really critical part of what I think has allowed me to be successful. And whether the next step is me as CEO or tapping one of the other executives that are amongst our business as CEO, I'm here for the long term and want to do what's best for the company, not what's best specifically for me, Joey Game. Again, long-winded answer, but it's a blessing every single day having the opportunity to work with my mother as closely as I do.
That's great. That's great. So you really hit the ground running. When you came in, you just came in and guns blazing, if you will. When you look back at your these years with GamerNow, what contribution or contributions are you most proud of and say, wow, I really was grateful to be part of that, to make a mark there?
Well, the easiest thing to make a mark at a sales organization is by building a book of business at the end of the day. So when you say I hit the ground running, you're absolutely accurate in saying that. I was pounding the phones, I was pounding research on any company that I had. At those times, my visits to grocery stores were at least 3 hours at that point, getting every single prospect that I could. And what you learn about prospecting is how rare it is that a single touch point is going to lead to a productive conversation or lead to a possible deal getting closed. That's hardly ever the case. So it's really focusing on maintaining your persistence, because when you're prospecting all day, for example, you can leave that day feeling pretty defeated or deflated at that point. And what I've learned just at my time at Cargill, and then of course here at Gamer Packaging, is knowing and trusting that the recipe or your process is the right one and truly trusting in it at that point. And by doing so, I had some very notable wins come fairly quickly in my early tenure. So I was able to demonstrate to the rest of the group that I do have. I'm still learning here, Ed, but that I did have a little bit of a natural sales acumen that could absolutely be moldable, coachable to help me continue to succeed. But outside of those notable wins, the most important win in starting the business with me is that, like I said at the beginning, it was a goal, but I really was able to live it. And now, having been here close to 7 years, I can feel like that I've accomplished it, is developing my own relationships with the employees here at Gamer Patching, some of which have been here for over 30 years and were in fact employee number three. So you have to imagine, and just speaking candidly, that there's going to be some threat or maybe some displeasure seeing another gamer coming into the business when someone has been here for 30 years and have dedicated so much to the business. I can say at this point, I really focused on listening to everyone. Any advice that people asked, I asked a tremendous amount of questions, and I was authentic at the end of the day that I'm here not to take over the business. I'm here to contribute to a legacy that was started before me at that point. So that's probably my biggest accomplishment that I look back on, is that I was able to successfully navigate the waters of coming in with your last name being the one that's on the front of the door, while at the same time developing my own relationships all the way to the point where I'd argue that most all of these people that I work with here at Gamer like working with me and are motivated by the future with me involved. And that wasn't an easy task, but was one that took a lot of focus at that point.
And it sounds like you truly earned it by virtue of your actions, not your words.
I appreciate it. It's simply the mentality of we're not, and my folks hold this one, we're not owners of this business by any means. We're stewards of this business. So that's what I think every single day driving into the office, is that I'm not the owner here. I'm the steward of the business to carry on something that generations before me sacrificed for. And that just goes to my, again, overarching consistent point here, that You need to go into these things, especially when it comes to a family business, with the right intentions. Again, looking at it as a privilege, not a right. And that, from a humble standpoint, I believe is the best recipe for success. It may take longer than some would like, as it requires a lot of organic growth. It's the most sustainable growth that I think you can achieve and will allow for the greatest success down the road.
And it requires, I think, a little bit of balance. And I think humility is the right word. As I reflect when I came into this business, I'd ask a lot of questions, just like you, Joey. And one of the questions I'd often ask is, why is this done this way? And didn't always like the answer, because a lot of times the answer is, we've always done it that way. And didn't necessarily say I'm going to challenge it because it's always been done this way, but why has it always been done this way?
And earning the right to challenge something is, again, a privilege. That's not something that anyone would look as acceptable if on day one I'm challenging all processes. It's okay, you can ask your questions. You need to demonstrate yourself as someone who's got the best interest of the company in mind in order to feel heard at that table at that point in terms of challenging a current process. And as we are in the industry right now, it's very dynamic. So there's a lot of processes that we're challenging and changing. But again, I've earned that right at this point to be at the table and for my suggestions to be heard. And a lot of them are being implemented, a lot of them are being thrown out the door. But again, you're not going to get everything you want in maintaining that humble attitude for the wins that you don't get, but still the willingness to get back to your desk and do the work that needs to be done. That's harder said than done, but something that's important to, again, allow yourself to be as successful as possible in these type of environments.
And you brought up humility a few times in our pre-conversation. What struck me is the way you speak with tremendous gratitude when you look back at the history of the company and even the now. So I'm going to test that humility a little bit.
Okay.
You were recognized
Please.
recently as Family Business Magazine's Next Gen to Watch 2025, as mentioned in the opening. What did that recognition mean for you, Joey?
Frankly, my first notion was a little embarrassment because, again, I've always been maintaining the attitude of low profile, demonstrating results. The results will speak for themselves. So seeing this type of recognition in a magazine that then my mother goes ahead and posts on her LinkedIn, the company posts on their LinkedIn, I've gotten a lot of attention for it, but I'm absolutely honored about it at the end of the day. And the article correctly reflects my thinking, and that I hope that whoever reads it can look at me as someone who is genuinely looking to add value to the organization. So after the initial embarrassment, where I'm at right now is just feeling honored about that and further motivated to continue capitalizing on the momentum that it appears I have at this point to continue making an impact and allowing at the end of the day for employees here to make more money. If we can make the right decisions and grow the company, I think the saying is a rising tide lifts all boats at that point. That's my mentality. And if getting a little notoriety helps us in that goal, I think that's absolutely great. But the final stage that came out of the article for me was motivation to keep doing what I'm doing, and that maybe I got a little recognition that what I have done, was the right thing at that point.
Awesome. So we talked a little bit about you still interact with your dad and your mother, Paula, the CEO. What about your brother Charlie and your cousin Dylan? Do you have much day-to-day interaction with them? And talk about that for a moment.
Yeah, so my brother, he went to Boston College. He's 2 years younger than me. Like my path, he worked outside of the business for even longer than I did. I think closer to 3 to 4 years in corporate development at MassMutual in Boston, which very different skill set that you're going to learn in corporate development versus a sales pit type organization that I had in Cargill. So I do interact very heavily with my brother on a day-to-day basis. Again, he's living in Boston right now, so it's mostly from a remote standpoint. He just got married about a year ago, so I anticipate that in the very near future here, he will be back in Minneapolis in the office full time. But how I interact with my brother is utilizing his skill set. And again, this come and in order to do that, you have to maintain that humble mindset, because a lot of people would feel threatened with another brother coming in saying, hey, I've already worked here for 5 years, now you're coming in. It To some, it may incorrectly feel as if they're taking away some of the shine that you might be contributing to the business, but that's not the approach I took whatsoever. I was extremely eager to work with my brother because, as it, not necessarily that it was planned this way, it just so happens that we are a very good yin and yang duo in terms of him having his skill sets as well as me having my skill sets. That if we can put pride aside, which I think you should put pride aside for most things that you do, you realize, oh, this is a huge tool that is coming into the fold right now, and that I feel can really help capitalize or move more quickly on the objectives that we have long term for the business. So I interact with him on a daily basis. I ask him a lot of questions. I get his opinions on things because you get that different aspect when I'm just looking at a deal in my mind. With his mind so different and with his experience so different, he often can tell me something that, or a perspective on the deal that I'm working on that I had not thought about whatsoever. But that's an entire That relationship goes both ways because he's calling me on a daily basis to get my separate input on anything that he's working at that point. And it's just been very fun that when he is in town and we're having a drink together and it's just him and I, that I can now talk shop with my brother, which I think a lot of people can appreciate the fact that that's very different than talking shop with your grandfather, with your mother, or with your father. You're talking shop with the guy who grew up with you at the end of the day. And there's nothing more that warms my heart up than having that experience with my brother. And I feel blessed that I have the opportunity to do that each and every day. On my cousin's side of things, he is on my mother's side of the family. Dylan may or may not be on a path for ownership at Gamer Packaging, but he is as about of a loyal soldier as we have at the entire company here. I believe he's been here close to 15 years at this point in an outside sales position. And today, just in 2025, I probably would anticipate him out of the 15 to 20 outside salespeople we have in total to be number one at the end of this year. So that's a true testament of him, although not seeing a direct path to ownership or a high leadership position as those with kind of the last name Gamer at this point, that he still took it very seriously that he's working for his aunt's company at that point, his aunt being my mother. And that also is a privilege being able to do so, and that he needs to work harder at that point because of that relationship. So he has results to show that, and I rely on him so heavily. I'm the oldest in my family, but my cousin Dylan, he's about 5 years older than me. And since I was a child, I looked at him as my older brother. I lean on him very heavily, especially from a sales aspect of how to structure a deal. This is my thoughts on it. What are your thoughts if I should be doing anything different? So much so, he's going to be in my wedding in October, and there's no one more outside of my brother, who's my best man, that I would like up there on the stage with me than my cousin Dylan, who I look at as my older brother at that point.
So clearly, very close relationships, but also what resonated with me was the collaboration that you share. It seems like it's very fluid and you have no qualms about picking up the phone and saying to your brother or your cousin, hey, take a look at this, give me your thoughts, or vice versa. And that's great that you have that relationship and that collaboration. Good.
And it just on that, it's the reason we have that is we all jointly understand the value of going into any conversation with an open mind and always having the attitude of, I am a learner more so than anything else, because we disagree on a lot of stuff. Like, I'm not just saying everything's hunky dory in terms of the conversations we have, but we have respectful conversations. And if you're able to have an unwritten pact at any point that even if we go into this conversation knowing that we're going to be on totally opposite ends of the aisle in terms of what we think should be done, that we respect the other person's opinion, and that further to that, we maintain an open mind that if they are saying something that is legitimate and isn't what you had envisioned prior to going into that particular meeting, that, as a business leader, it's up to you to take into account that advice. And that's something that we conduct with all of the team at Gamer Packaging, not just those that are family members. Again, we have an incredible executive team here, and I operate that same type of respectful dialogue at any points. There's a million different books you can read on it. It's like the language of love is one way that you can go into it, knowing that you're going to commit to hearing the other person, and it's mutually understood that person is going to commit to hearing out you as well.
When I started, my sister, who was 15 years my senior, was involved in the business. And I was once asked him, if you and your sister had a difference of opinion in the business, how did you approach it? And my answer was very delicately.
Yes.
Because I'm talking to a person who in her teens was probably holding and feeding me as a baby. So
Yep.
I'm going to approach that very delicately.
Ed, that goes exactly to my point that I'm giving advice based on my experience, or I'm giving feedback based on my experience. But again, in a family business, there are so many different particulars and attributes that come about that change everything. So you just having the fact that your sister is 15 years your senior, where in fact I'm only 2 years different from my brother. That's a totally different dynamic that I'd imagine you have to handle more delicately, as you say, or handle in a different fashion than my brother and I. So that just, I think, is a perfect point to say how different family businesses are set up, and that keeping an open mind based on the circumstances in front of you is all the much more important at that point.
True, very true. So let's talk about the here and now for a moment.
Okay.
Packaging is a complex space, it's a highly competitive space. From a brand perspective, what do you think sets Gamer Packaging apart in that crowded packaging landscape?
Yep. It is certainly a complex industry, and it's even more complex with where we are in at that and within the distribute or in the industry as Gamer Packaging as a distributor. I'm having to sell both sides of the coin at this point. I'm having to sell the fact to a manufacturer that there is value in them allowing me to sell their products, and then vice versa with a customer that there is value to them purchasing a product via our business versus direct to a manufacturer. So that even adds to the complexity at that point. So people ask me often, what's different about your packaging? And I say, well, nothing's different about our packaging. Anyone and their mother can, at some point, if they've got a line of credit from a bank, can sell an undecorated can or anything like that. What makes Gamer Packaging different than both our competition in terms of other distributors, as well as just fitting into the industry and creating that value chain, is what I would describe as our white glove service. At the end of the day, we take a very tailored approach with each of our customers that allows us to hear out their any problems they may be having or their existing supply chains to custom tailor a solution or a proposal that we would put in front of them. This is very different than a stocking distributor or a stocking packaging distributor, where really at that point it's holding out a menu of items and asking a customer, hey, take it or leave it. This is what I've got for you. We leverage the extensive supplier network that we have, where I to the point where I feel comfortable going into any sales call knowing that I can leverage that network in unique and proprietary ways at that point to provide a unique solution to that customer that fits their needs very perfectly. And in addition to that, there's just a lot of, you hear this term a lot, but value-added services that we've invested a tremendous amount of money in over the years to look at to make customers feel like working with Gamer Packaging is going to be an easier solution for them. And by value-added services, financing is a huge one. We're very well capitalized at Gamer Packaging, and that's been through conservative growth over the past 37 years, very organic growth opposed to any M&A or large acquisition deals. We have a very robust in-house logistics team that manages over 30 different warehouses throughout the country and all of our own freight at that point. We have in-house our own quality assurance department, where we can be looked at as the resource for quality assurance, opposed to having to take up a supplier's resources and getting their quality team involved, that we can be looked at as the first line of defense. So really, where I think our value or where I think our competitive stance is within the marketplace is maintaining a white glove, high-end service mentality and a unique approach to each and every customer's needs, as well as leveraging a large supply or a large value-added segments that we have within the business at that point. The only other thing that I may mention is When it comes to pricing or what have you, those are all big conversations. But what I can say is, if you can demonstrate your value correctly, paying that extra quarter of a penny, what have you, seems well worth it. And then in addition, you can get we try to operate as a turnkey operation, meaning you don't just have to get your glass jars from us, but you can also get your aluminum closures from us as a single source. And if you were buying direct, you'd have to be working with two separate companies. You'd have to have two separate payment terms set up, what have you, where we can put all of that together and you have a single point of contact for all of your packaging needs. It's a huge value add for our customers. Tough thing being in the distribution business, but we continue to carve out our value within the supply chain day in, day out. It's constantly evolving, but that's our primary focus of remaining relevant as a distributor in the packaging segment at the end of the day.
And it sounds for listeners that aren't deeply familiar with the packaging industry, logistics and getting the raw package to the point of fill is
Yeah.
often a big consideration. And it sounds like Gamer has that area
It's
buttoned up.
logistics, it's minimums. A minimum on a can order may be 200,000 units or so per SKU at that point. And someone may not be able to fill all of those units at one point. There's a big price break in achieving that type of minimum. So being able to work with a company like Gamer Packaging that's willing to store those materials over a period of time as a cut and only feed them out to a customer as needed. Further to that, holding on to the capital of those items and invoicing only as products are sent out. That's a huge one because, again, if you're buying in those types of volumes, you get some significant price breaks that the big guys are getting at that point, in which you require as a brand in order to remain competitive. So we work to establish those solutions to achieve those types of price breaks for customers without them extending too much capital that would inhibit the business from scaling at that point.
Cool. Looking at the industry in the here and now, what are some trends or innovations in the packaging arena that you're particularly excited about right now?
Just going back, the trends have been huge throughout the years. So take, for example, Gamer Packaging in the 90s. Our biggest item at that point was a long neck beer bottle. The craft brewing industry was absolutely blowing up. There was a period of time that for crowns, and when I say crowns, that's the metal closure that goes on to your beer bottle. We were selling over 1 billion crowns per year at that point. It was a big shift when the craft brewing industry became very saturated, and it was a much more difficult for craft brewers to remain relevant versus the 90s. There's still a lot of very successful craft brewers out there, many of which that we have the pleasure of earning their business on a daily basis. But that was a big transformation that, hey, we need to be targeting different segments outside of the craft brewing space. So not only are we targeting different segments, whether it's functional beverage, different waters, different energy drinks, different kombuchas at that point, nutraceutical items, food that you eat before bed and has melatonin in it, beverages that have melatonin in it. We really expanded our breadth of segments that we were looking at. And I'm just using the beverage segment as an example here. And then the biggest transition that happened after the 90s is a large transition to aluminum cans. I think a lot of people can attest that whether you're buying can or you're buying product from your local craft brewer, or even at this point going to Whole Foods to buy water, you're going to see some of those products in cans, which a decade and a half ago, you would not have seen that.
Pretty true.
That really just goes to, it's a testament to Gamer Packaging and our ability to remain nimble that we can identify those trends and be able to recalibrate our manufacturing resources in order to capture those trends and remain relevant. Moving all the way up today, though, a fascinating one is the cannabis and hemp market. For example, whether it's a big patchwork of different regulations throughout states at this point, but 10, 15 years ago, the only place you could legally purchase cannabis was whether it's Colorado and California. Today, over half the states have some type of regulation in place, and the brands that are growing and utilizing unique packaging resources as well is absolutely blowing up right now. So we've had to do some readjustment in order to remain relevant in that space, all the way to utilizing a fully proprietary, unique packaging item, which is referred to as a resealable can end. So it's a regular can, but opposed to you just opening that can and not being able to reseal it at that point, well, there's a packaging solution in place right now that we're offering to a wide breadth of customers to reseal the can at that point. A lot of transitions, but today I would say the biggest one being the cannabis and hemp market is certainly an interesting one that we're keeping our eyes out for.
Excellent, excellent. So now I'd like to look to the future a little bit and say 5 years out, where do you see Gamer Packaging and what role do you see yourself continuing to play in that next 5-year trajectory?
My current role is Director of Strategic Growth, which a lot of people ask, what the hell does that mean? And how I would probably describe it is I'm very much involved with both strategic customers of Gamer Packaging as well as strategic suppliers of Gamer Packaging. At the end of the day, besides our people, the most important position to be in, or the most important partnership you have is with your manufacturing partners, because without them, you don't have anything to sell. So in terms of where I would see Gamer Packaging in 5 years is, naturally, we're in a strong position right now to continue growing our sales force. But along with our sales force, we need to ensure that we are also growing the value-added segments that I had mentioned to support any additional sales that are coming in. And above all, where I see ourselves in 5 years is probably having some further exclusive or highly favorable agreements in place with both existing manufacturing partners that we have, as well as new ones that are within the pipeline that will grow our portfolio of items that we can sell at that point. So that's probably our largest growth area, but keeping in mind too, the growth of technology and how that can impact your business as well. Every boardroom is talking about it these days with regards, what's your AI strategy? What's your AI strategy? So we've certainly been asking ourselves that, but we think that there's some opportunity for us to implement AI to improve efficiencies internally at Gamer Packaging. And why I'm always hesitant to say that is a natural reaction from an employee standpoint is, oh, it's going to take my job. And what I just have to say on that is I'm a firm believer that the implementation of AI is not going to remove any jobs by any means. I think it's going to possibly grow the amount of jobs that need to take place, but at the very least are just going to shift the responsibilities of certain individuals within our companies. We've got a lot of people who work here who are extremely talented that are bogged down with a lot of mundane processes that could certainly be improved with AI technology, and allowing those people to utilize their talents in more meaningful ways and customer-facing, supplier-facing positions to actually better utilize those skill sets opposed to a mundane task that can be handled by technology. So in terms of just summarizing, growth of our sales team and ensuring at the same point that we are properly growing the value-added segments and the specific manufacturing relationships we have today and new ones to come, and then utilization of different technologies available today and that are coming about on a weekly basis, it seems like right now, to continue improving efficiencies within the company.
Awesome, awesome. Last question, Joey. If someone listening wanted to connect with you directly or learn more about Gamer Packaging, what's the best way for them to
do? The best way to do, and I'm glad you're asking that, is because I'm an open book. So by all means, people can send me an email. My email is jgamer@gamerpackaging.com. So that's my first initial, last name, @gamerpackaging.com. And the reason why I'm fine giving that out is I love growing my network of, one, additional people that are in business, especially family businesses, to share any insights that we have or that are experiencing. I don't think there's anything bad about that whatsoever. I think that's only an opportunity for me to continue learning from other people's experiences. And further, if anyone feels that there's something I said today that may be of assistance hearing out for their particular circumstance, I'm all ears for that. Plus, if there's any listeners out there that have a food product, a beverage product, anything within that segment, pharmaceutical, nutraceutical, or cosmetic that they feel like they would need to take a look at as for another packaging resource, of course, I'm in sales and I, of course, would welcome those type of opportunities. But again, that's jgamer@gamerpackaging.com. That would certainly be the easiest way to get a hold of me.
Awesome. Joey, thank you so much for joining me on Growing Up B2B. Your story truly highlights what it means to balance tradition with innovation and to carry forward the family business with both gratitude as well as vision. Again, we've been speaking with Joey Gamer of Gamer Packaging. I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, and this is Growing Up B2B. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Joey, thanks so much for joining us today.
Ed, it's been a pleasure, and thank you for having me on. It's a great honor to be on here. Appreciate your time, as always.
Awesome. Thanks again. Hey, thanks so much for tuning into Growing Up B2B. To explore more episodes and insights, visit podcast.deleonet.com. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a rating or review on your podcast platform of choice. Having worked with hundreds of family-led businesses across my career, and being a second-generation leader myself, I'm on a mission to help every family business I meet achieve next-level growth for their organization. So feel free also to connect with me on LinkedIn and let's support each other. You can also find out more about my company at deleonet.com. Again, I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, and thanks so much for joining us today. Take care.